Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We want to share with you, and we've talked about this on previous program before, about the One Thing conference that happened at the end of 2013, if you will, over in Kansas City, IHOP, International Prayer with Mike Bickle and the family of believers there. And it's really a powerful, powerful time. I believe 30,000 people came this year to Kansas City, and of course they had over 300,000, Pat, streamers, people that were watching online. Mm-hmm. And then God TV was broadcasting that to over 200 nations around the world.
Wow.
And so when you talk about a significant meeting, it's 4 days of saturating yourself in just the one thing, going after God. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's beautiful. I mean, absolutely beautiful. And there were so many encouraging words, but I'll tell you, you know, we've mentioned this before, but Francis Chan was his first time coming. Awesome man of God. This guy is so authentic.
Yeah, never even heard of IHOP before.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah. But you think, wow, you've never heard of IHOP before, but yeah. Never heard of IHOP before.
Right.
Or Mike Bickle.
Didn't know Mike Bickle. Yeah.
No. And he comes and he shares, my goodness. I mean, he just kind of laid it down. God used him to lay down the plumb line. I mean, he just spoke plain English, if you will, and spoke truth. And he shared some things that were not just, it wasn't just for IHOP or the group that was gathered, or even for those that were just kind of streaming. It was a word for the church at large, and it's a timely word. And he's, some of the things that he shares is out of Revelation 3, and we have a segment that we want to share with you because we truly believe that this is a word for the church, definitely a word for us, and we want to embrace and just say, listen, it's a word right now that the church really has to get on the inside of us because it has a reputation. The church has a reputation for being alive. Mm-hmm. Wow, sad to say, it's sometimes judging people that you would consider dead and not in God is like, wait a minute. If you have your reputation for being alive and you're not alive, you're actually dead. It's time to don't say that. Like, turn your heart to God. You know what I'm saying? Get right with God. And then say something, but don't say anything now. And there's a difference between reputation and there's a difference between reality. We want you to listen to Francis Chan's segment as he really just shares the heart of God. Listen up.
The passage that came to my mind, the other passage was Revelation 3. When he speaks to the church in Sardis in verse 1, he says, I know your works. You have a reputation of being alive, but you're dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I've not found your works complete in the sight of my God. God says to this church, you have this reputation of being alive. Jesus says, everyone knows you for being alive. He goes, but I know the truth about you. And this is not just for you. This has been a life verse for me. Okay, as a pastor, as a leader, as a speaker, people assume certain things about me. And I have a reputation. That's why I was invited here. I have a reputation. And people assume these things. And at times that reputation is true. And at times my walk with the Lord isn't what it ought to be. And that fire isn't there. But I know how to fake it. And there's a way in which we have this reputation of being alive, but we're dead. And I got to ask, I mean, when I thought about coming here, I go, man, from what I understand, these people are walking with the Lord. They love Jesus. They're praying 24/7, all of them, never sleep. You know, this is IHOP. They're about purity. In fact, I understand you're very much about the word and everything. I go, man, praise God for all that. But I know how it goes when people assume certain things. And everyone assumed that of Sardis. And this whole idea of reputation versus truth. Let me put it to you this way. If I were to interview, let's say, 5 of your closest friends or family members. Okay, think about this. Literally, think about it. I just grab like 5 to 10 people in your life, and I start interviewing them, and I ask them about you. Okay? I say, hey, tell me about, what's your name in the white shirt? I didn't hear it. David. If I interviewed like 10 of your friends, and I go, okay, tell me about David. What's he like? What's his walk with the Lord like? How about his purity? Okay, cool. How about his time in the Word? How about his time in prayer? What does he care about? Does he love people? And so imagine what people would write about you. Okay, then imagine if I actually came into the presence of God Almighty and stood before his throne, and I interviewed God and said, God, tell me about David. Tell me about his prayer life. Tell me about his passion for you. Tell me about his purity. What would God say about you? And what would your friends and family say about you? And if those are two different things, it could be that you've been way more concerned about your reputation than who you really are. And you're trying to just get people to think you're a certain type of person when before the Lord, that's not you. Man, I say this because we've done this, right? We know how to lie. We can pretend, oh yeah, I've got a girlfriend, and we're not really doing anything. You know what's going on. I'm not really addicted to this or that. You know what's going on. You can say, oh, my prayer life wasn't what it's supposed to be. And you know, man, it's just dead. And it's like, man, come before the Lord and say, you know what? Okay, here, let me be really vulnerable with you right now. Okay, this past Easter, I was speaking down in Hollywood. And I was very excited. I was speaking at the Hollywood Bowl for Easter service. And the reason why I was excited was because I was preaching to a new crowd on Easter Sunday. I'd never spoken to them before, which is awesome because that means I don't have to prepare. I can use an old message, okay? So I'm looking through all my old Easter messages. And those are always your best ones, right, as a pastor? So I'm looking at all these old Easter messages, and I'm just reading them. Ooh, that one was pretty good. Ooh, that one was good. Oh, I like this one. But the more I started digging and I started reading some of my sermons from the early days, I realized, I said that? I really said that? I don't think I'd have the boldness to say that today. And I started looking at these old sermons going, God, what happened to me? I remember the days when I used to stand in front of a crowd and I don't care. I didn't care about anyone. I was just thinking about the glory of God. And I would just say, go ahead, leave him. I don't care. I'm going to say whatever he wants me to say. I'm going to throw it out there. And I really didn't care if everyone left the church. I wanted to be right before the Lord. And I'm reading this. I go, man, I think all the criticism, I think, you know, the ego, the pride, the fame, or this or that, and it just starts to weaken you. And I realize I started to change. I'm going, God, I don't think I'm as bold as I used to be. God, this stinks. But the worst part was I was reading this one sermon where I talked about the birth of my son. I was just reading it. You know, I got on this trail of reading old sermons, and I just read this one. It was the week my son was born. My son was with me today. He's 8 years old. So it was 8 years ago. And I'm reading. I was talking about my son's birth. Okay, I already had three daughters at that time. And so I was excited about the birth of my son. And I was describing it to my congregation. And go, man, that week we're getting ready to go. And we thought, should we invite our oldest daughter? You know, she's like 10 years old. It'd be kind of cool for her to see her brother being born and seeing childbirth. But is it too young? I don't know. My wife and I are going back and forth. And I finally said, you know what? Let's bring her. Maybe if she sees childbirth, it'll keep her from messing around. And so we bring her, right? And it comes time, you know, my wife's pushing, and I'm like, oh, come on, honey, come on, you know, and then the doctor looks at my 10-year-old daughter and says, do you want to deliver your little brother? And she's like, I can? He goes, yeah. And I'm like, wow, and puts little goggles on her, gloves on her, and a little gown on her. Picture my little 10-year-old girl with tears streaming down her face. Picture what I'm feeling as a dad here's my son. I mean, I love my daughters, but there's something about my boy going, man, we're going to hunt. You know, we're going to... It was just cool, like this moment. But then to have my firstborn daughter delivering my son, and she's the one that catches my son, and she's crying, holding her little brother. I'm in tears. My wife's in tears. This amazing moment. And I'm just remembering all as I'm reading it in the sermon that I wrote. And then right after I said that, I said, as amazing as it was to see the birth of my son, it paled in comparison to the times I had with Jesus this week. My times with Jesus were so amazing. I wish you could have been there. I just didn't want to leave. I just went on and on about how, yeah, the birth, but that was fine. You should have been there when I was alone with the Lord. I enjoyed him so much, way more than the birth of a child. And I'm reading these words going, I remember that. I remember that. But as I was reading it, man, it made me so sad because I'm going, God, I don't know if I feel like that right now. I remember the way I used to just enjoy you and just love you and go, I don't want anyone else around. I just want to be with you, you, you. And reading those words, I'm going, God, what happened to me? I used to be more bold. And what's worse is, Jesus, I think I used to love you more. I didn't want those words to ever come out of this mouth. I think I used to love you more, enjoy you more. And it was at that time that I just kept hearing this phrase over and over again. Strengthen what remains and is about to die. Taken from Revelation 3, I heard it over and over again from the Lord. Strengthen what remains and is about to die. And it wasn't like a rebuke. It was a beautiful, wonderful, comforting reminder. He didn't say, Francis, you loser, what are you doing? I'm done with you. He says, no, strengthen what remains and is about to die. It was God saying to me, Francis, strengthen what remains. I know you, Francis. I know inside of you, in your soul, lives this man who just wants to say whatever I want him to say. Fire that up. Strengthen that back up. Don't let that die. And I know inside your soul is this person that loves me more than anything else on this earth. And you live for me. So strengthen that back up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die. Okay, you've got this reputation, but you know, as you've grown in some areas, you've slipped in others. And this love for me, it's got to come back. Bring that back. Bring that boldness back up. That's still in you. That's still in you. I put my spirit in you. He didn't leave. You know what? So strengthen what remains and is about to die. And I believe that's the same message he has for some of you. You can come here. Your reputation hasn't changed. But you know in your heart, when you can look back and go, man, I remember times when I was so much more in love with him. I remember times when I was just proud to speak his word, and it was just a joy to be his prophet, and I would just lay it out to my friends, family. I was not ashamed of the gospel. I know times when I used to study this book because I just wanted to know Jesus so badly that I wanted to read everything that he said over and over. What did he say? Jesus, what did you say here? Oh, man, those are great words. I want to follow. I want to know Christ. I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to know the fellowship of his sufferings. I want to become like him in his death. So I could just somehow attain to that resurrection of the dead. God was very clear with me. Loving, clear, strengthen what remains and is about to die. No one else is going to know. But you know the truth about your relationship with the Lord right now. As the worship team comes up, Matt's going to lead us again, but during this time, you know, maybe the worst thing some of you could do right now is sing.
Wow. What a word for this hour. I mean, Francis Chan was touched by God to share this word and to declare it with humility, with grace, but yet with truth and power. And many in the body of Christ are in that same place, or in a place where they have a reputation, they have a reputation for going after God and being excited about the things of the Lord, but on the inside, they're not just dead men. Maybe they're full of like dead man's bones. It's just dry bones.
Yeah.
And when we get back from the break, we're going to talk about this more because, listen, this is what was going on in Revelation 3. I encourage you to read the book of Revelation, Revelation 3 in the Church of Sardis. And God brought this word and saying, listen, you have this reputation, but you got to strengthen what remains. We need not to be lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, because that will get us spewed out of the mouth of God. But there's only one place for us to be, and that's with a burning passion, being on fire for God. We just finished listening, Pat, to Francis Chan bring this word, the word of the Lord, really, to the church at large. I mean, it's a great. Millions of people, really, and you think about web streaming, you think about 200 nations of the world, this message was broadcast to on God TV. Mm-hmm. It was truth. It was truth. And the difference here is that he was talking about the difference between what is your reputation versus what is reality in heaven in Jesus' eyes. What is reality? And so many times people fall into a trap of just believing a lie and being more concerned about their reputation. What basically your reputation is what others believe or what you want them to believe or what you put out about yourself or maybe your image, if you will, versus what is real. And God's calling his church to be in touch with reality, is to be in touch with what is the truth. Listen, your reputation's only going to get you so far, but hang around a little bit. You know, what's real is going to you know come through. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the reputation is the brown bag, but what's on the inside is going to bleed through the brown bag. You know,
that's right.
And what you want in reality is for your passion and for God to be on fire. You know, Christianity is not just a religion. It's not just a way of life. It's not just having some principles so that you can say, oh, I need a code of conduct to live by. Christianity is about Christ himself. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about knowing him, receiving him, walking. It's relationship. It's understanding who he is and what he means to you. And, you know, you almost have to ask the question. I mean, is the only time that you pray or that we worship or that we open our Bible, is it when we come into a public gathering of the church? Does that happen more than our times alone? You know, when we come together corporately, it's only to say amen corporately to what we've been doing every day throughout the week. We should be talking to Jesus throughout the week. We should be worshiping and our hearts should be filled with songs of just deliverance and of joy and just of worship back to him. I heard someone during a conference say, I think she quoted Augustine, who said, he who sings prays twice. And I thought, man, that's pretty awesome. I like that. Because oftentimes, we know, we're just singing words and scripture back to the Lord. We're singing our prayers. And it's just another opportunity for us to pray and to have that fellowship of oneness. You know, the Word of God says in Corinthians that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with the prostitute, but he who unites himself with the Lord is one spirit. One spirit, I mean, you're united with God, and God's calling us to a place of fellowship. He's calling us not to have a reputation, but he's calling us to be in his presence, to walk with him, to abide with him, to demonstrate his love to others. But how can we give what we don't have? How can we impart to others? How can we release the love of God if we haven't embraced the love of God? And we want to encourage you. We want to encourage you the word. I mean, Revelation 3 says, I know your deeds. Listen, God sees your every action. He knows your every thought. He knows what you're about to think. He knows what you're about to do next month. Next year, 20 years from now, he knows everything. And he says, you have a reputation of being alive. That means other people think something about you, that you're alive. But in reality, you're dead. Mm. And verse 2 says, wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die. And the question is like, oh my goodness, how much life do you have left? It's like, wake up, strengthen what remains. How much of that is remaining? What's there? You know, and God's saying, there's a fresh fire that needs to blow over your heart. There is a passion that needs to come back. They used to sing this song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to Let It Shine." And I think now, is that a person who just had a little light? I mean, who wants a little light? It should be like this roaring inferno. I'm going to let it burn. I'm going to let it burn. Not this little light of mine. I don't want a little light. You want a little fire for God? I want to be on fire for God. And that's what God wants for us. And then he says, "For I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of God." I want to encourage you today. It's in the sight of God. That's what matters. Don't fall into the trap of living for other people or for the eyes of others. You only live before the eyes of the one who gave his life for you. I want to encourage you, strengthen what remains. Go back to God. Repent. Don't be satisfied for anything lukewarm. Do the evaluation. Is my reputation the same as my reality? And if it's not, repent. Give him your heart. Say, God, I want you. I need you. I'm not satisfied until my heart is completely united with you and you and I are one. I want you to be the number one person in my life. I want to commune with you, Jesus. I love you. Come on, let's do it. Let's go after him. Let's make this a year to say, Jesus is Lord. Get the fire back for God because he loves you and has a plan for your life.
I don't know if you know this or not, but you can now see us on Christian Television Network, which has a potential audience reach of over 500 million viewers all around the world. It's amazing. One of our key audiences, too, as well, we want to welcome our new audience on WHBR, all the way from Destin, Florida, to Mississippi, over 500,000 households. All around the world. It is amazing. Make sure if you have not yet, you can find out the viewing times in your area. You can ask your local television station if we're not yet on there. Say you want VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. You can find out more and viewing times in your area at VFNTV.com. Yes, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio, live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. But now, thanks to Christian Television Network, you can see us all around the world.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. Did you know that VFN TV and the Daily Radio program is made possible by those who partner with us and our sponsors and our underwriters? If you have not yet, you've got to go to VFNTV.com and visit them. Find out who is sponsoring, who is partnering, who is standing with VFN Radio, and become a sponsor yourself. Become a partner yourself. Listen, we stand for three pillars we believe. Without these three pillars, we won't even be here as a country anymore. That's for God and country in that order, and Israel. If you want to take a stand, if you want to do something about what's taking place, now's your time. Partner today or become a sponsor or underwriter and visit our sponsor and underwriters and tell them you are thankful that they're